created world. Savers are often immersed in golfing, hearing the cries of those that have been afflicted by tornadoes. The oppressed, grant us the knowledge and teach us to respond with acts of courage. Lord, tell us that the basis of Christ. We pray for the fruit of the Spirit of Christ who works for peace on this earth, who commands us to love our enemies, who calls us to patience, to resolve our disputes. And we pray especially for those working for the resolutions of those seemingly impossible challenges facing our area, especially to care. Those debates over solutions, those in Congress facing decisions on the economy or immigration, those suffering unemployment, illness, grief, loneliness, despair, support them with your Spirit. Father, today we celebrate. We celebrate those who have given of themselves in serving this church as teachers, as leaders, those who have completed their education in high school or college. Grant them special blessings, O Lord. As we pray for our church here and about the world, especially me with those suffering persecution for their witness to Christ, may your kingdom to come. So may God pray in Jesus' name. We promise when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I know we're about worship, but part of worship is realizing that we're also about being a family of God. Positions, and then they're retired at 1997. my churches. I think I'm tired of these last day of three. And this is all the supply. And then he looked here. And he saw that he could help someone. And he was stuck. And it didn't work out that they had much time to do it. But I know it had to bring comfort to God, knowing, I mean, to God, knowing that God was there to watch over the flock. And he served you wonderfully there. And there's a whole bunch more churches that he served since then. To which you have been chosen unanimously by the session of this church.
I do. Thank you so much.
Would you turn in your bulletins to the congregation response and Mike will lead us?
And to the congregation, if you would join me, we, the members and friends of the First Presbyterian Church of Dearborn, we join us in your acceptance of the title Pastor Emeritus. We acknowledge you on the highway of earth for your service to Christ and to the body of Christ. So we bestow this honor upon you with thanksgiving. We pledge to you our continued love, our constant care, and our sustaining prayers for all the days before us. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads and let's Almighty God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, we give thanks for God's commitment to Christ and to His church. We thank you for His faithful obedience to your will and way, for the caring and sharing, the living and loving by which God has enriched so many of our lives over the years by His example and ministry. Continue to bless, we pray, God and His beloved wife, Dorothy. In Jesus' name, amen.
I do now declare you, Pastor Emeritus of the First Presbyterian Church of Dearborn. I have three very brief remarks. I just need to take whatever time is necessary for the Word of God to be pronounced, appropriate for Christ. I said earlier that the greatest gift a teacher of God gives is their life in God. So he's really a discernment here. And he's a credit. You will notice that we put the crosses on the road for him. In the passage that was read to you, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body or our lives. And he is continually sought to point to our Lord Jesus for a whole bunch of years. I've often said, depending on who's an executive pastor watching over a whole bunch of pastors, that the first rule of the ministry is to realize it is not about us. It is to realize it is not about us. In the passage we read, it says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay or earthen vessels to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So what can anyone want us to send? And immediately he said, how great thou art. Realizing that the power, the blessings, don't come from us, they come from God within us, that uses us. And so he honors that first tenet of ministry. It goes on in that passage to say that Jesus, the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. And this for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Again, that all-surpassing power. An executive presbyter, I was at the Syracuse General Assembly. Were you there? He's been to more General Assemblies than you want anyone to have to admit. At the General Assembly, they used a chalice throughout the place, and I purchased one. On this chalice, it says, Pastor Emeritus Don Wright, and the date, and of course, the Celtic cross. We live in an age where pessimists say that a cup is. Optimists say that a cup is. Says the cup is overflowing. Because it's just, we are called in ministry to pour ourselves out to others. And no matter how much is left in the cup, we just keep pouring and God keeps filling. And that is the gift of Don Wright as he's gone these many years, continuing to see. Out is the presence of Jesus within. So your cup is overflowing. It's got wine in there. Well, close enough.